Charlie Baker is wrapping up his first year as Massachusetts governor. And as we look back on 2015 and ahead to 2016, we check in with WBUR Statehouse reporter Steve Brown to review what's been a pretty eventful first year in the corner office. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Deb.
Well, it seems in a lot of ways as if Charlie Baker's been in office longer than a year. In part, that's probably because of all the issues that he faced early on. Remind us, Steve, of how his term began.
Well, a good way to measure is to take a quick listen back to his inaugural address on January 8th, especially the part where he outlined his main objectives.
I believe our actions will be heard in many ways, but the loudest of these actions will initially be in dealing with an immediate budget deficit, building a job-creating economy everywhere in Massachusetts, closing the achievement gap in education, confronting opiate addiction, and revitalizing our urban centers.
So to address what he identified as at least a $500 million deficit, the governor set out with some cost-saving measures, including a hiring and contracting freeze. He also called for and ultimately got passed legislation authorizing early retirements for 4,500 state employees, which was supposed to save $173 million. Now, that target fell a little short. Around 3,300 employees took the golden handshake, saving $126 million.
Now, Steve, just a few weeks after the governor's inaugural address, we got that horrendous winter weather. That also defined his first year as well, right?
It sure did. And the governor knew it wasn't just a minor inconvenience.
This is an unprecedented set of circumstances that we're working our way through, and it has consequences for productivity, it has consequences for the cost of government, has consequences for global businesses that operate out of the Commonwealth.
So the biggest casualty of the winter was the breakdown of the public transportation system in and around Boston. The governor escaped blame for much of the T's breakdown since he had just taken office. He can't do that going forward since he now, in essence, owns the T. Now, during the crisis, the governor was out front taking public control of the situation. The public seemed to respond positively because by June, a WBUR poll showed him with a 70% favorability rating. The T meltdown presented him with his first political challenge to fix things at the T. He got his way with the creation of the MBTA Financial Control Board, despite some early Senate resistance. He also persuaded the legislature to suspend the so-called Pacheco Law, which prohibited any sort of privatization of the T. Unions are not happy with that, but the focus of their disdain has been aimed at the Democrats in the legislature who gave the win to Baker and not Baker himself. He has made several statements over the last month assuring the public that the T is ready for whatever winter throws our way. Over the ghost train a couple of weeks ago really didn't help the agency's reputation.
Speaking of reputation, also with a problematic reputation this year has been the Department of Children and Families, which has seen many crises in this first year that Governor Baker has had to weather. So what's happened there? Remind us.
Well, improving operations at the department had been a major campaign promise. He brought in Mary Lou Sutters as his Health and Human Services Secretary, but then some high-profile cases, including the Bella Bond case, dominated the headlines over the summer. DCF had some involvement in those cases, and that prompted the governor to re-examine the agency.
I do not want to be another administration that sort of chases what I would describe as a half-baked solution to this problem and hopes it all eventually goes away. We want to be the folks who actually stick with this all the way through and get it right.
So for much of the fall, the administration worked with a union that represents social workers in crafting changes to the agency's intake policy, which the governor pointed out many times had not been updated in over a decade. They also developed a supervisory policy, something that had never been put in place. Those updated policies will be rolled out over the next month.
Steve, a campaign promise from the governor was to try to address the state's opioid problem, which just continues to grow. Remind us where that stands.
Well, the state came up with some more money for some treatment beds. The governor met with his counterparts from the region to discuss the issue, and now he's campaigning for quick approval in January of his bill to limit first-time opiate prescriptions and to allow doctors to involuntarily hold substance abuse patients. Now, some of those provisions have considerable opposition, so this will be a test of his political influence.
And along those lines, how about Governor Baker's relationship with the overwhelmingly Democratic legislature? Are they getting along?
Yeah, well, he has a collegial relationship with the legislature. Just about every Monday when the legislature's in session, there's a leadership meeting that's attended by the governor, the House Speaker, and the Senate President. Afterwards, the three of them come out and they answer reporters' questions together. Now, I know in the past when Deval Patrick was governor, the big three would often scramble in different directions, forcing the reporters to chase them individually down the hall. Any smart Republican governor in Massachusetts realizes that he has to pick his fights with the Democratic legislature. He needs them more than they need him.
So what should we be looking for from Governor Baker in 2016?
Well, we should see if his favorability ratings hold. Those numbers, like I mentioned, have been hovering around 70%. Some say he has nowhere to go but down. They can't get any higher. What could bring those numbers down? Well, a lot depends on who the Republican presidential nominee is and how much of an endorsement Baker will give that candidate. He has successfully distanced himself from the presidential campaign and the field of Republican candidates. But he'll ultimately be asked if he supports the party's nominee. Now, if the party goes with a more conservative candidate who will have a hard time gathering support here in liberal Massachusetts, that won't help the governor here at home. On the policy front, look for him to continue pushing for an energy bill that calls for purchasing hydropower from Canada. He's also expected to put out a jobs bill early next year.
WBUR's Steve Brown, who's at the State House looking back at Governor Charlie Baker's first year in office. Steve, thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Deb.